The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm here in studio today in the Treetop Studios here at North Shore 104.9, overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station. Hey, I got to tell you, as I was driving in here today, does anybody need the back seat to a minivan? You might think, what am I talking about? I was driving by Hogan Tire on the way out here. There's a sign that says free. And they have a back seat to a minivan sitting out there. Take it if you want it. And there's a sign that it says folds down flat to a bed. So, hey, if you happen to be in the Beverly area today, you're driving around this morning, you're looking for a free bed or a back seat to a car. I don't know what you might need that for, but there happens to be one over in front of Hogan Tire here on Enon Street in Beverly. Anyways, I'm here in studio providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And hey, that's some financial advice. A free back seat. There's free, right? Financial advice, we tied it all in there for you. And you can understand that. Free is free. There was no strings attached. You just have to take it away. That's all. But we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Like I said, providing financial advice in a language you can understand. We talk about everything from mutual funds to stocks to annuities to insurance to tax returns to insurance policies to pay stubs to retirement to planning to estate work to putting your parents in a nursing home to having to pay for a kid's education. We'll take on anything and everything. In fact, the past couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about buying a car. And some of the great deals that are out there and how to be able to work the system a little bit. If you've missed some of those great shows, I'd encourage you to tune into our podcast. We do take this show. We put it up on a podcast each and every Tuesday following the show. You can either find it right here on the NorthShore1049.com website, which will generally carry the past couple podcasts, or you can go to iTunes, you can go to Podbean, you can go to a whole bunch of podcasting systems and look for Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial, and you will find years and years and years of our radio shows. Love for you to download them. It amazes me how many people actually do and find us. I don't know if I've ever told you. There is a woman that found us in Buffalo, New York. Buffalo, New York. I'm actually going out to visit with her in a couple weeks. She actually flew into Boston to visit with me. And she's been following our show on podcast. So all the best to you, Judy. I hope you're listening again. And it amazes me. I had a guy from Las Vegas that called. He calls the office one morning and he complains to my assistant, Jody. He says to me, you know, Mark's show last week was a repeat. And she says, yes, he was out of town. He says, well, you know, I look forward to his show every Sunday and I had already heard that show and it was a repeat. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'm sorry I ruined the guy's day. But I was thrilled that someone from Las Vegas is tuning in. I know we have people in Belgium that actually listen to the show. We have people in New Jersey that listen. I've heard from people in Australia that tune in. It is amazing to me how many people find this of interest, especially when you're living outside of the country, because folks, I travel all around the world and I visit with financial advisors and I learn about all the personal, financial, economic systems that are out there. And they're all very different to ours. Would you imagine that if you were to go over to, let's say, Germany, for instance, Germany, to Austria, to the Netherlands, did you know that there is no capital gains tax? So if you were to sell a security, imagine being able to buy and sell securities all you want and not have to pay taxes on the gains. Now, granted, we have that privilege within an IRA account here in America, but in Europe, there is no such difference. It just works out that way. Imagine if you were told in one country that whatever you may pay a high tax rate. Maybe you're paying a tax rate of almost 50 to 60%. But what if you were told as long as you stay with the company, at least work in the industry, they'll guarantee you 70% of your income as a pension for the rest of your life. And that will also include all free health care, all education costs for your children. it's a pretty good deal. So every system is a little bit different. But the systems we're going to talk about here, the financial planning that we're going to talk about here, happens right here in the United States. And in fact, I try to make it really local and keep it here to the North Shore and Merrimack Valley. I want to tell you a couple things that are interesting, but this thing actually might apply to everybody, because I went and I saw a movie this past weekend with my son, Corey. You know, we had a choice. We had a choice of seeing Angry Birds. That was his choice. Angry Birds, Through the Looking Glass, X-Men, or Money Monster. And so what we did was we sat at home and we watched the previews for each of the four movies. Oh, and The Jungle Book, too. That was the fifth one that we considered watching. Now, Corey, you need to understand, is 13 years old. All of the movies except for Money Monster are PG-13. Money Monster is rated R. So we're watching all the previews, and after watching all five of the previews, Corey said, let's go see Money Monster, which I was thrilled with because that's the one that I really wanted to see in the first place, but I was a little concerned, should I take a 13-year-old to an R-rated movie? And I'm thinking, how bad could it be? How bad could the R-rated movie be? Well, I thought I'd offer you a little insight here, because this is a money theme to this thing. I don't know if you know the story of Money Monster, but it's basically a takeoff on the role of Kramer. Kramer has this fancy show that everybody follows, everybody listens to. A lot of people take Kramer's advice. Even though Kramer has little disclaimers and stuff at the end of his show and sometimes during his show, he'll tell you what you should buy, and what you should sell. Well, the story is about George Clooney, who plays a Kramer-like character. And for the past couple of months, he has been talking about a sure thing bet. And I forget the name of the company, but a sure thing bet. And in fact, he says he knows the CEO. He's friends with the CEO. He's had the CEO on the show. And then suddenly, over the past couple of weeks, the stock drops 70%. Stock drops 70%. George Clooney, who's playing Kramer in this movie, is trying to get the CEO to be on the show, but the CEO is traveling, dealing with other things, and George Clooney, doing the best Kramer that he can, is, like anybody else, spinning all of the reasons why the stock dropped 70%. Well, while he's telling this story, a person shows up in the studio and takes George Clooney hostage, attaches a bomb to him, and he says, I want my money back. Now, the guy lost $60,000, and George Clooney says, fine, I'll write you a check for $60,000. In fact, I'll write it to you for twice the amount. And the guy says, no, I don't want my money back. I want all the money back to all of the people that lost their 70%. The millions and millions of people. In fact, I guess there was something like $800 million in market cap that was lost that day. So he wanted all of those people reimbursed. And all of a sudden, what you learn through this movie is how spin really turns into what people begin to believe. And even George Clooney finds that he's been duped through the process. And I'm not going to give away what happens and how that all works, but I'd encourage you to visit the movie. It was an action thriller movie. I thought it was going to be kind of more of a Kramer-esque type show. It was a thriller. And my 13-year-old son, who I worried about should he be in an R-rated movie, walked out of there and goes, Dad, that should have just been PG-13. There was, I honestly can't tell you any reason why that movie was rated R, maybe for a couple things, but certainly nothing significant, certainly nothing that I was embarrassed to go to the movie theater with my 13-year-old son. We watched that movie, we loved it, he loved it, and I would encourage all of you to go see Money Monster. But the reason I tell you this story is the reason why Kramer is successful, but is also seeing himself fall in some tougher times. I don't know if you followed the stories. We've talked about it here on the radio show. Is that despite the fact that Pete Kramer has a great following, if you were to look at the portfolio performance of his charitable trust and all of the accounts that he has, they haven't done so well. Not just recently, but for a very long time. Yet entertainment sells, folks. People watch because the ads are funny, makes it entertaining. You want to watch him. You feel like he's talking to you. Guys, when you watch Bloomberg, when you watch CNBC, when you watch any of these money shows, any of them, they are so not talking to you. They're telling you the stories of institutional traders, people that trade stocks day in and day out who have no emotional attachment to any of the money that they're trading. They don't care that it's your fortune. They don't care that it's what you're planning to use to put your kids through school or what you might think about using for retirement. They're trading. This is a game to them. None of them are putting all of their money into one stock or a whole bunch of stocks. In fact, many of them have such great cash flow coming in year after year through salaries that all of this other stuff is play money, and many times they're playing with house money. They're working for other companies who are encouraging them to trade and to tell stories. The reason that I tell you this is the same reason that I talk about it in several other capacities, where I say you and I have no business owning individual securities. Stop trying to trade Yahoo. Stop trying to buy Google and Apple and Alibaba and whatever else it is that you might want to buy. I don't care whether you own Gillette or GE, where Gillette is now Procter & Gamble, or GE or AT&T or Southern Company or ExxonMobil, and you're owning it. Well, the dividend's really good. Folks, stop it. You are going to find yourself badly hurt, badly damaged at some point. Whoever thought Kodak would go out of business? Now, you could talk about the stories of Enron and Tyco. You and I never knew about those companies until it made the news. But we all knew about Kodak, right? Think about that. When you'd go to Disney World, and what was everywhere you turn in Disney World? A Kodak photo spot. We had the Photomat booths. Everybody loved Kodak. Many people don't even realize that Kodak doesn't even exist anymore. When's the last time you could walk into a CVS and buy 110 film or buy a flip flash? You can't do that anymore. Guys, those companies, Kodak's out of business, essentially. Many people saw that coming, but you probably didn't. I probably didn't. Many people didn't think that Apple would lose 20% of its value so quickly this year. A lot of those stocks, they talked about the FANG stocks last year. The way that you made money last year was to own the FANGs. You know what FANGs were? Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Were those the stocks to own last year? Yes. Have they been the stocks to own the first 5 months out of the year? Absolutely not. But when did people want to buy them? They wanted to buy them when they heard that they were popular, that they had done so well. And when you did your Morningstar searches and you did all of your screenings through your Fidelity database or your Schwab database or whatever it was, and those stocks popped up as the best performing. And that's what you said. Well, I got to take a look at the past performance and how it's all done. Well, folks, past performance is no indication of what future performance will be. You've heard that 1,000 times, yet nobody seems to want to listen. And in fact, what's even worse, we say, okay, well, I'm going to look at the 5-year, 10-year, and 15-year track record of some of these investments. Man, they were really good, those 5, 10, and 15-year track records. The problem is even those companies that had great 5, 10, and 15-year track records, they had some very treacherous times during that period. But the minute you see that happen, the minute many investors see that happen, the stock drops 20, 30%, they sell. That's not the time to sell if you believe in the long term. If you're going to take that 10, 15, and 20-year approach, that's why I don't want you buying individual stocks. You and I can't deal with the emotional spiral, the emotional stomach aches that come along with owning individual securities. I want you to buy professionally managed portfolios, oftentimes referred to as a mutual fund. Sometimes people are talking about buying exchange-traded funds or an index fund. There's a lot of similarities between those three, and each of those investments provide you some great, great protections. I'm going to talk to you about those when we get back. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.1. This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, and I'm here each and every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I want to thank Paul Parent for opening up our show for the first couple hours today. I hope he gave you some great gardening tips. Hope your thumb is getting greener and that your flowers are looking beautiful around here. Now that, I will tell you, gardening, now there's a great investment. But it's an investment that comes with an expectation. If you're going to buy annuals, you know that you're making an investment in flowers that will ultimately die at the end of the year. If you buy perennials, you know if you handle them properly, if you manage them with care and buy quality nutrients for those plants, they will come back year after year and thrive and do better. But so often we find ourselves making investments, what we think we are, buying clothes or a car or whatever it might be, and we look for the cheapest possible price. And we neglect quality. I know Paul Parent is all about buying quality. He's all about making sure that you take care and be sure that you have the resources, both physical resources and the supportive resources in the soils that you might buy, the nutrients that you might buy, the flowers that you purchase, and all the protections that you purchase. That's buying quality. When you go, your kids probably, if they ever ask you, hey, mom and dad, I want to go to Forever 21 to buy some clothes. And they want to buy clothes there because it's so darn cheap. What they neglect to tell you is that the minute you throw it in the washing machine, it's no longer so cheap because it barely exists anymore. It's fallen apart. When you're buying clothing, are you buying quality or are you buying what you think you can afford? Just because something seems cheaper doesn't necessarily make it more affordable. Think about how many times you have to buy something over and over and over again simply because the product didn't last. How many times have you been to Home Depot because you wanted to fix your own plumbing? You wanted to add on to that deck. You wanted to paint your house. You wanted to hang some pictures or whatever it might have been. And you think, oh, I can do this myself, and look how much money I saved. And then the time aggravation, and then when you realize that the shelf isn't holding, that the deck isn't quite level as you had hoped, and you begin to say, oh, maybe I should have hired a professional to start. So now you end up hiring a professional. And now you want to find, of course, the cheapest price for the professional that you wanted to hire. But you forget about the fact of how much money you just wasted ahead of time trying to do it yourself. Oh, did it make you feel good that you tried to do it yourself? Maybe initially, but I bet you felt like a moron after you realized that you couldn't do it the way that a professional would. Folks, there's something that's said to be said for buying investments, buying products, buying services from professionals. It's because they've done it before. They've been there. You know that if you were to hire a plumber to come in and fix your toilet or some type of a plumbing issue, they can be in and out in an hour or two, when in your case, it can take 2 and 3 days. Because you don't have all the right tools right at easy access. You're not prepared for when something surprises you as you're fixing something. That's the same thing that happens, folks, when you're buying a mutual fund. When you hire professional money managers to run a mutual fund for you, they have all the tools. They have tools that are far greater than yours. They have the experience that is far deeper than yours. If you're trying to build an investment portfolio by buying stocks, and you want to try to compare yourself to a local fund manager who's building a portfolio, you lose. You might feel good for the week. You might feel good periodically. But if you're buying a long-term, lifelong investment strategy, you will lose and lose badly if you try to build a portfolio all on your own. And honestly, I will tell you this. If you're working with a financial advisor who seems to think that he can buy individual stocks better than a portfolio manager, he is pulling your chain. He is absolutely, he or she, absolutely lying to you. I want you to think about it. How much time do you think a portfolio manager of a mutual fund company takes in trying to build a portfolio, trying to sustain it, to keep it going, to handle the inflows and the outflows every single day? They do that 24/7 with teams of 20, 30, hundreds, thousands perhaps of employees all supporting and servicing that same investment. When they're making money, when they're making a decision to make a purchase of a mutual fund, when they're looking to sell, when they're looking to make a purchase of a stock or sell a stock, they're not buying 100 share increments. They're buying 100,000 share increments. It's a little bit of a different decision. You and I have no business buying stocks at all. Look, you want to take 5% of your portfolio, play around and buy stocks for $7.95 through some Fidelity or E-Trade platform, go for it. But besides that, you're fooling yourself, you're fooling your family, you're fooling perhaps your entire life in retirement. You got to take this seriously because you know what? When retirement comes around, the paycheck stops, folks. No one's writing you a consistent weekly paycheck from your place of employment. It's up to you now to look at the resources that you have to return, to change that into a paycheck that you can produce. And if the value of your account is fluctuating dramatically, if you're thinking that, oh, I need to cut back on the amount of the check that I take every month because the market's doing poorly, or I need to change my spending habits because the market's doing poorly, then you have built the wrong kind of retirement portfolio for yourself. You need to plan appropriately. And one of the best ways to do that is to use a well-balanced group of mutual funds. Now, why are mutual funds so much better than buying an individual stock? Well, here's the number one reason. Number one reason, professional money management by an enormous team of people. How does a mutual fund work? It's very simple. There is a portfolio manager who is hired to run a mutual fund. His job is to look at the primary statement on the prospectus. We all get prospectuses for mutual funds. And up there it says, what is the objective of this mutual fund? And maybe, I'm just simplifying here, is to build a growth with income portfolio utilizing the 500 top rate, the 500 largest stocks that trade on the exchanges. Now, someone might have just thought, I just said, it means that you have to buy the S&P 500. No, what a portfolio manager gets to do is he basically has a universe of 500 stocks, and he says, I want to buy some of these. I want to buy some, I want to sell some, I want to keep some, I want to ignore some. When you buy the S&P 500, you have no choice but to invest in everything one way, no extra strategy. If you're buying the S&P 500 index, you are buying the exact index. You can't overweight Google. You can't underweight Coca-Cola. You cannot do that. You're actually violating the rules of the prospectus if you do anything other than that if you're a portfolio manager. But if the portfolio manager's job is to say, look, you have the universe of 500 stocks, build a portfolio that has a growth with income objective, now you got somebody who can try to build stuff. Now, how many stocks will he put in that portfolio? 5? 10? Oh, no, you can't do that. You need to have at least 20. Most have 100. Some even have 200, not 500. Now, does this person do it alone? Oh, God, no. They have tens, if not hundreds, of people working for them in their shop. Analysts, people that fly out to each and every one of the companies that own the individual stocks in their portfolios. They meet with the managers. They meet with the analysts. They work the lines. They go out and visit and talk to employees. They understand the risks. They understand what the competitors are. They actually go out and they look at what's coming. You know, we all talk about our Apple 6S or the potential Apple 7 that's coming, or the iPhone 7. Do you know that there's probably an iPhone 12 right now? There really is. Someone's building a prototype of an iPhone 12. Yes, there's already an iPhone 8, 9, 10, and 11, but someone's actually working on a prototype of 12. Wouldn't you like to know, at least have some kind of an insight, how technology is growing in the background so that it could support an iPhone 12 or a Samsung Galaxy 974? I mean, I don't even know what they're even called. But when you have the resources and a team of people working for a mutual fund company where you can send the analysts out and they get their fingers dirty, they get into the documents. They actually get to pull and audit the financial statements. They get to talk to the vendors. They get to talk to the people who have been fired and new people that have been added. You and I can't do that. How would you imagine this? Could you imagine agonizing over whether to buy a particular stock, but having to wait 4 or 5 months to actually figure out what's the right date, time, and amount to buy it at? You and I can't do that. That's what a portfolio manager is doing. And so maybe they're owning 100 stocks in their portfolio. And when they hear that X, Y, or Z stock dropped, do they sell out of it? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they add to it. Because you know what? They're not emotionally attached. They're more convinced and concerned about making sure that their performance of their fund gets better. If it means dropping dogs, they'll drop dogs. If it means adding to something that they have a high conviction in, they're going to add to it. And here's the reason why. Because in a mutual fund, there's always new money coming in. And periodically, there's money going out as well. You and I don't have that luxury. When we decide to buy an individual security, we buy the individual security. And that's it. It's not like there's an ongoing flood of money coming into our pool that we say, okay, well, next week, next month, tomorrow, whatever it is, we'll have another group of new money coming in that we can decide what we want to do with the portfolio. You have protection. You have professional money management. The other thing that you should get in a great mutual fund, diversification. I've always told you about this story. I've kind of made up this situation, but it's very possible that it could happen. Imagine your kid is in high school. They're sitting in class drinking a can of Coke. And one of the kids pops open the Coke, drinks it, and all of a sudden passes out and dies right there in the classroom. Drops dead because instead of Coca-Cola being in the can, it was poison. Could that happen? You know it could. You know it could. Look, it's happened with the Tylenol scandal. Remember that? We've had all sorts of instances where that could happen. Now, does that mean that Coca-Cola is not a good company anymore? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that. But you know what happens to Coca-Cola's stock the minute that happens? Realistically, I don't know what happens, but it's going to move. Chances are it could go up, could go down. But chances are people's opinion of Coca-Cola will change that day. Think about Chipotle. When's the last time you went over to visit Chipotle? Several months ago, there was a line out the door wrapped around the building. You'd say, I don't even want to stand in this line. Now you could walk in and walk right up to the counter because of some type of outbreak. Does that mean that Chipotle is any worse today than what it was 6 months ago? Absolutely not, to tell you the truth, in my opinion. But the media scares us and it spooks us. So what happens in a mutual fund? Let's say the mutual fund company owned Chipotle or owned Coca-Cola. How badly do you think that mutual fund was hurt that day, that week, that month that followed? Barely. In fact, it may have even improved. Because what if Coca-Cola was in that, what if Coca-Cola was in that portfolio and so too was Pepsi? Pepsi might have gone up where Coca-Cola went down. How about some of those others? Maybe Buffalo Wild Wings or Chick-fil-A went up in value when Chipotle went down. Folks, you need diversification. Mutual fund portfolios give you professional money management. They also give you diversification. And there's so much more that they deliver. We're going to talk about more of those things when we get back. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let our sponsors identify themselves. And I will be back in just a few minutes. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
New Meadows Golf Club in Topsfield is the North Shore's premier nine-hole public golf course. Golfers of all skill levels find the unique course design challenging and pristine conditions amazing. The meticulous grounds at New Meadows are the best around. Join a golf league or start your own. For golfers age 17 and under, receive a 50% discount on greens fee. To book a tee time, call New Meadows at 978-887-9307. That's 978-887-9307. Online, newmeadowsgolf.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. A little bit past, half past the hour. Hope you're doing well. It's a great Sunday. We are right in the thick of the best time of the year here in New England as far as I'm concerned. You got lots of things to do, lots of activities going on. You got graduations. You got birthdays. You've got proms. You've got kids going off to camp. You got vacations starting up. You can go to the beach. You can do so many things here in New England. It's the greatest time of the year to be here as far as I'm concerned, except for the pollen. Man, that can really kill you. My producer here is just choking. If you hear some gagging in the background, it's because he can't breathe. I just told him, I said, Tony, if you just stop breathing, we won't have a problem with the choking. But yeah, I know you're all feeling it. You get up in the morning, you see the yellow decoration all over your car, and you could like draw things. It's kind of like that little dust mobile, but it's in yellow all over your car. We'll get over that too, and all good things are yet to come. We've got a great summer ahead of us, and I've got lots more financial advice in a language you can understand to carry you through your day each and every Sunday morning, whether you're laying out at the beach, whether you're sitting out at the pool, whether you're sitting on your front porch, or just frankly, laying in bed. You're allowed to do all of that stuff on Sunday morning. Hope you're having a great day. We've been talking about a lot of stuff today. But today, my big theme has been why it's so important for you to stop buying individual stocks, to stop taking advice from people like Cramer, newsletters, any of that other stuff. I went and saw the movie Money Monster. I'd encourage many of you to go see it. Trust me, it's not like The Big Short where you have to be super intelligent to try to figure out what that movie's all about. Money Monster is just a thriller movie. I took my 13-year-old kid with me, even though the movie was rated R. We snuck him in. Actually, no one actually asked at all. And he loved it. And honestly, I don't understand why they even rated it R, to tell you the truth. It was a great, great movie. I think you will absolutely love that movie, and it'll give you another reason why you should stay away from taking advice from the talking heads, from the blowhards on television that tell you about why you should buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. You don't want to start doing that. You want to be buying professionally managed investments, oftentimes referred to as mutual funds. Sometimes they're ETFs. Sometimes they're index funds. All of that stuff. So what we're doing is I'm trying to explain to you today why that is where you should be investing your money and not trying to play the stock market. Look, we talked earlier today about the fact that mutual funds, some of the best things about mutual funds is, number one, they're professionally managed by a very large team of people. A broker is not a professional money manager. And anyone that suggests to you that he or she is, they are absolutely lying to you. Think about this. A broker isn't spending every single day, 24/7, researching stocks, buying and selling and making decisions. They might suggest to you that they are, but they can't be. How could they find time to meet with you? How could they find time to prospect? How can they find time to work with their teams, to handle paperwork, to deal with the compliance issues, to stay up to date on everything that needs to go on in their industry, let alone your individual portfolio? Folks, they can't. Do you know that every single day a wholesaler, somebody representing a mutual fund company, is knocking on their door to provide them a free lunch to encourage them to buy that product? Folks, your stockbroker, your financial advisor, or even you, for that matter, are far worse as a stock picker than as a professional money manager, someone that's called a portfolio manager, someone that runs a mutual fund. The other thing that a mutual fund manager has the ability to do is diversify. They know that they're actually going out and visiting all of these different companies. They're going out and visiting places of business. They're talking with the analysts. They're talking with the vendors. They're talking with the executives, the people working the line. Your financial advisor isn't doing that. I'm certainly not doing that. Stockbroker isn't doing that. They don't have the time or the energy to do it. What you need is someone to simplify your life and find more times on addressing the issues that matter most in your life, not whether X, Y, or Z fund or stock is up. Folks, at my office at Friedman Financial, we do what's called comprehensive financial planning. What does comprehensive financial planning mean? Sometimes say people think, oh, that's only for the rich. Sometimes people will think, oh, I can't afford that. But folks, you can. It is highly affordable. And I want to give you a sense as to what happens when financial planning is delivered properly, certainly to retirees and pre-retirees. I want you to imagine this. I want you to think back to when you were a kid and pretty much everything you owned could fit into a box. All your worldly possessions, all in one place. You cherished everything. You knew where everything was. You had your cubbies and you knew exactly what was in that box. But as you got older, you added more boxes. You added more stuff. Things got more complicated. You had kids, got married, you had expenses. You wanted to buy another house, you wanted to buy another car. There was a death. You had to replace the driveway. I mean, I'm just throwing out all sorts of random things that happen. And then all of a sudden, you realize that I'm just a few years away, or maybe you've approached that time when it's time to retire. You don't have the fire in your belly anymore about wanting to really deliver what was necessary for the position that you had at work. You might have fire in a lot of other areas. Maybe you want to volunteer. Maybe you want to do something. Maybe you want to just cut back. Look, we have one client who is an executive at a major company. He was making an incredibly good salary. And he said, you know what? I want to work in this industry, but I don't want all the responsibility anymore. I just want to go to work, do my job, hang out with friends, and leave. I don't want to worry about answering emails at 5 o'clock in the morning, at getting phone calls on a Saturday or Sunday, or being told by my boss that I better be on a plane to Chicago in the next 3 hours. And so with 2 years left to go before retirement, he decided to go from an executive role to working in the warehouse. He decided to be a picker in the warehouse and work with the guys who he knew just enjoyed working. They had lunch together. They enjoyed taking breaks together. They enjoyed telling stories about their families. They enjoyed sharing stories about picnics and trips and simple things that they did. And they were as happy as can be, because when they punched out at the end of the day, there was no worries after that. And yeah, he took a dramatic cut in pay, but he says it's the best decision he ever made. He says he can transition himself into full retirement without just jumping off the cliff and ending it. He transitions in. He says, you know what? I look at all of the executives that are back up in the nice suites and have all these big expense accounts, and now I laugh. I laugh because I know how much pressure they're under every single day. And I don't worry about it anymore. I got great friends. He says, I've met some of the most interesting people in the world that worked in my warehouse that I didn't even know that were there. And he absolutely loves it. And I'll tell you, he has a new appreciation for life. Now, fortunately, he has the ability to maintain his lifestyle that he had grown accustomed to for a number of years because he had put money aside. And he can continue to live his lifestyle, but also live and work in an environment that he truly embraces and loves. And the people that he works with, they love it. And you know what they look to him for? They look to him for mentoring. They look to him for better use of language. And I will tell you, that's one of the most important things I will tell you. As you move up in a company, as you become more successful, as you want more responsibility, you need to be more delicate with the language that you use. And I'm not talking about political correctness. I'm talking about professional correctness. There are many of us that are never trained to have that kind of a dialogue, that we just talk from the hip. We don't care what anybody else thinks. We don't notice any of the stuff around us. We just live our life. And when we walk with little care, with little understanding, not worrying about what rolls off our tongue, there is a limit to your earnings. There's limiting There's a lot limits to your worth because there's some compassion. There's some characterizations. There's some compassion that comes with a professional communication skill. And he's taught that to these guys at the warehouse. He says these guys had never even thought about how important it was to use the right kind of language to get what you wanted. And I think it's something that we could all learn from one another. At any rate, I was telling you about the fact that in retirement, when you're approaching retirement, you got a lot of decisions to make. And I will tell you, one of the easiest decisions is trying to figure out whether you can retire financially. Believe it or not, that is the easiest, easiest decision. Whether you can do it financially. Folks, that's a math problem. That's all it is. It's back to school. It's a math problem. Yes, there are a few variables you have to figure in. What could I potentially earn on my portfolio? What would inflation be? What will I need to spend every month? But those are all math problems that you can figure out. Here's the tough one. And what I call the most important question of all. What do you and your spouse like to do together? Think about that. When you retire, when you ultimately retire, and you're now both at home, laying in bed at 8:30 in the morning, because you could sleep late, and you realize you have nobody to report to but one another, there is nobody calling for advice anymore, there's nobody nagging you, there's no responsibilities, and you're laying in bed. And you stare at each other and you go, what the heck are we going to do together now? What do we like to do? Now, if you remove the concept of eating, because everybody says, well, we like to go out to eat. All right, that's nice, but you could be 900 pounds if that's all that you will do. What will you enjoy doing together? Retirement is not a financial decision, folks. Retirement is an emotional decision. Yeah, finances play much into it. But that's either a, yes, we can do it, no, we can't. But what will you do for the next 20 to 30 years of your life as you begin to prepare for retirement and hang out with that same spouse for the next 20, 30 years? Grow old together? What will you do? Think about that. I'm going to take a break. When we get back, we'll talk more about it. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. On North Shore, 4.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Don't have enough time to go to the gym? Grab your phone and download Bench Bro, the hottest finger-tapping fitness app.
With Bench Bro, you'll test your reflexes, your concentration, and your finger-tapping skills as Bench Bro helps you achieve your virtual dream physique.
This is a fitness resolution you can finally keep. Download our free app, Bench Bro, today.
Bench Bro.
Available on the App Store
and Google Play.
No membership required.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I asked you to put your thinking cap on in the last segment. I asked you to try to think to yourself, when work stops, what are you going to do? Not what you're going to do alone, but what will you and your spouse, your partner, do together? What is it that the two of you enjoy doing together?
some real important questions to try to answer. In fact, I look at that as being the most important question of all. Trying to figure out whether you can retire or not. If anybody tells you that that's a difficult decision from a financial standpoint to be able to give you the answer as to whether you can retire or not, they're lying to you. Folks, it's a math problem. Any type of what are we going to do when we get away from the actual money part of it? That's the hard part. At Friedman Financial, at my firm, I deal with that question every single day. Let me tell you a little story. Recently, I met with Ellen and Bruce, and after 35 years with the same company, Bruce had decided he wanted to retire. Now, Bruce was really excited. He was ready to go, but his wife, Ellen, who was a stay-at-home mom, she was petrified. I mean, absolutely shaking. She was about to experience life with Bruce on a 24/7 basis, as she put it. After working the same job, socializing with the same colleagues, and keeping the same schedule for 35 years, Ellen was at a loss for how Bruce would handle the new lifestyle and how being at home might mess up her routine. You see, Ellen was very content being at home. She had her girlfriends, she had her schedule, her activities, and honestly, she wasn't ready to give that up just yet. Yet Bruce, when he cut ties with work, he'd now be starting from square one. She worried that while he may not miss the grind of work, that he'd certainly miss his daily routine, his coworkers, and perhaps his sense of importance. After all, more than 90 people were reporting to him every day. He was a mentor, a manager, a father figure, and a confidant to many. So one of the most important questions that I ask of couples before they enter into retirement is this, and I've shared this with you. Besides eating out, what is it that the two of you enjoy doing together? Let me ask that again. Besides eating out, what is it that the two of you enjoy doing together? Now, I assure you that's probably not the question that was asked of you when you went to visit with the retirement counselor at work, when you went to visit with a financial advisor at your local financial institution. They don't ask that question. They say, well, how much money do you have to invest? How much money do you plan on spending in retirement? Let's be sure you have the answer to the most important question. Besides eating out, what is it that the two of you enjoy doing together? Look, most financial planners will inundate retirees with questions around financial affordability, sustainability of assets, and the investment returns in the future. They'll boast about how well they've had performance, how long their clients have lasted with them, and how they've been able to maneuver in and out of markets. Folks, some of these answers they're made up that they're telling you, but in all honesty, most issues as it relates, as I've told you, when it comes to the financial part of retirement, most of those questions are easy to answer. It's a math problem. And guess what? All you need is a calculator. You could do it by hand. You really could do this by hand. But a calculator, piece of software, it's real easy. But when retirees are asked questions surrounding non-financial issues, that's when you're really getting to the heart of the matter. I want you to consider these basic questions. I want you to imagine for a second that you're about to retire. You're now going to be home. Neither of you are going to be getting that traditional full-time paycheck. And you're about to spend the next 30 years together. Consider these questions. In retirement, who's going to be responsible for all of the housework? I'll tell you, Ellen was looking forward to the fact that with Bruce home, Bruce might be able to help out with the housework. It never crossed Bruce's mind that he may have to do housework. He was just going to be retired. He forgot about the fact that there's work to be done. Who's going to do the yard work? Now, for years, Bruce cut the lawn. Ellen gardened. Bruce hired a snowplow guy to handle the driveway, but he shoveled the front walk. There could be a new expense. Something new for them to be able to do. They could hire somebody to do some of those jobs for them so that they could have more free time for themselves. Could they afford it? Once again, math problem. But these are important questions to ask. How about this? Who's going to be responsible for preparing meals? Now, remember, if you're home 24/7, there's generally three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, Ellen was traditionally preparing meals every night for dinner. Ellen thought, well, when Bruce is home, maybe Bruce could learn and pitch in a little bit. Maybe Bruce could do the food shopping. Maybe Bruce could make meals periodically. Or maybe they'd just go out to dinner more often. Maybe they'd order takeout. Or maybe Bruce would find out that Ellen likes sushi, and Bruce has never even given it a thought. These are important questions to ask. This has nothing to do with whether you're in the right mutual fund, whether you picked large cap growth or large cap value. Nobody cares what the stock market did in those days. You have to figure out what it is that the two of you enjoy doing together. Who's going to be responsible? Let me ask you this. Who's going to be responsible for keeping up with family and social activities? Now that you're home a lot, you might have some more time on your hands. You might be able to go to more of those weddings, those reunions. You might be able to go to the theater. Who's your circle of friends? Will your circle of friends be, which Bruce has thought, well, my circle of friends is, I guess I don't have a circle of friends. We always must have to go with Ellen's circle of friends, because when Ellen went out to events with Bruce, it was Bruce's work stuff and Bruce's work friends. Well, you know what? Bruce doesn't work there anymore. And so his work friends stayed at work. Bruce has to find a new social circle. Will he like Ellen's social circle? So I want you to think about, what are some of the shared responsibilities in retirement that you could both do together? Now, hiring someone to help take over some of these chores can make a big difference in a marriage. In other cases, spouses, you might consider taking on a rotating task list of chores to make them work more equitable. You might even laugh a little. Could you imagine watching Bruce iron a shirt or asking Ellen to, I don't know, to program the remote control? I don't know. I mean, there's things that the other one might have done. And these are not sexist things anymore. Look, at my house, I cook more meals, certainly as many meals as my wife does. There's not traditional roles anymore. And as you get home, for you get into retirement, you're going to have to all start participating in this. Why does the man traditionally have to drive the car all the time? I say to my wife when we're driving to Connecticut or driving to New York, why do I have to drive all the time? Why can't you drive? You have a driver's license. You drive. She says, well, I drive carpools all day long. Well, you know, why do I have to drive and you get to sleep? That's no fair. We can share those responsibilities. But even more importantly, as we talk about this, I want you to make sure that each of you have separate activities that you continue to enjoy. For instance, one of you maybe belongs to a book club, while the other spends time gardening or doing woodworking. Even informal activities, such as meeting with friends once a week for coffee, getting your nails done, or joining the local club at your temple, at your church, at your philanthropic group, whatever it might be. This helps to reduce the strain on a marriage, and I think you'll find that there's new friends out there. I will tell you one of the greatest places that you could look at. If you're looking at retiring, I want you to join the Salem State Explorers. You ever heard of the Salem State Explorers? Maybe some of you are listening or already members. This is one of these lifelong learning organizations that welcomes people that are facing retirement. Now, this is not a bitch session for them to go in and complain about what isn't working, but it's an opportunity for you to find your passions. Like, I have a client of mine who loves history, and periodically he gives lectures on some of America's greatest historians and America's greatest leaders. In fact, a couple of years ago, he dressed up as Abraham Lincoln, and he studied up as Abraham Lincoln, and he went and did a lecture where people, he could tell his story about what Abraham Lincoln was like and what went on during that time, and people could then ask questions of Abraham Lincoln. He was a student of that. There are others that are students of scrapbooking. There are others that are students of rocket model building, whatever it might be. Folks, the Salem State Explorers, the Salem Explorers, I think that's what they call them, are absolutely brilliant in putting that together. If you've been thinking about going over to Brooksby Village or some of these other senior living facilities, some of the clubs and the organizations that get started there are absolutely remarkable. You will find new sets of friends. You can't but help it. But if all you do is sit in the house and be miserable and you watch Kramer all day long thinking that that is your solution for the day, or watching soap operas or QVC, there's more to it than that, folks. You know, many retirees express a desire to spend more time with the family. For some, it means getting to know your children as adults and or enjoying your grandchildren or great-grandchildren. For others, it might mean an opportunity to re-court your spouse, the spouse that you've been living with all these years. I mean, I know that I'm finding it kind of interesting just as someone that I just turned 50. As you all well know, I have five kids. I'm far from retiring. In fact, I got a lot of college educations to still have to pay for. But what we are finding is that our children are getting to the age where most of them have become independent, that they're out doing their own things. Mindy's off at college now. Alana's going off to college. Jerry and Noah will be in the high school. Corey's home for middle school. But Laura and I can pretty much do whatever we want. And when we have a free Saturday or a free Sunday or a free afternoon, we're beginning to ask ourselves these questions now. What is it that we like to do together, or what would we like to explore and find out that we like to do more of? You know what I've learned? I've actually learned that I like to go on tours. I like to go and visit places and go to listen to a decent tour guide that can show us some places and show us around and give us some education. Years ago, I had no interest in that. You know why? Because I was so busy chasing around my kids that I wasn't listening to the tour guide. I wasn't listening to any of that, so I just avoid it. But Laura and I are looking that we're looking to build our education. And it's something that you can too. You know, retirement is like a really long road trip. Part of the fun comes from the unexpected pleasures that you'll find and the chance encounters along the way that will lead to new hobbies, new friendships, and even new lifestyles. But like any good trip, a certain amount of planning has to be done before you can relax enough to enjoy the unexpected. For Bruce and Ellen, the people we talked to about earlier, their real adventure is about to begin. I have the highest hopes for both of them, and I have the highest hopes for you. If you would like to learn how we as a financial planning firm can really make retirement something significantly greater than just the investment of money. Yeah, we do that. We do that really well, and we do that at a very reasonable cost. But you get so much more than investment advice at a firm like ours. You are going to get to experience retirement unlike you've ever experienced it before. If you want to have that opportunity, if you'd like to schedule an initial consultation to find out how we do it, how can we can make it special for you, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I'm not there today. Leave a message. Jody will schedule a free initial consultation for you. And of course, if you'd like to receive the free newsletter that I put out each and every Friday, go to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. At the very bottom of my website, you'll find a button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. All you got to do is hit the button. I promise you this, I'm not going to call you to say, oh, hey, I saw you signed up for my newsletter. Would you like to come in for an appointment? When you're ready to do it, I'd love to meet with you. But in the meantime, if you'd just like to stay connected with us, you can continue to listen here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on our show, Dollars and Cents, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And I'll be back next Sunday. My name is Mark Friedman, and I'm out of here. Have a great day.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.